Hey everyone, it's Brandy. Got through the first episode, which was kind of deep, and I really appreciate all of the support that my friends have shared and liked and told me about the first episode. And all right, let's get into the second one. So when my dad Shamie bawled my mom ended up losing her shit and going to solitaire. She ended up like getting in more trouble, I guess, that day because of the circumstances. So she ended up having to be in there a little longer than what, she was supposed to be, I guess. So she ended up staying in prison, of course, and we, go back home to my dad. At this point, my dad is getting to the point where he is severely reckless. With his drinking, still went to work like he was supposed to, but was severely drinking. Not doing much at home. It was mostly put upon me, and he ends up getting evicted, or we do, from St. Vincent de Paul Apartments, which I think is like a low income thing that he got because he was a single dad. At this point, my dad ends up meeting people like via through like churches because he's really into the church and different churches, and he ends up meeting different people like for when they signed us up for the Angel Tree. So this is about I was about 5 or 6 years old, and my Christmas basically my Christmas around 5 or 6, he runs into and meets a couple. It's an older gentleman and an older woman, and they was in the church. I couldn't tell you their names to save my life. I just knew exactly where they lived at. They lived off Terry Road, and they had lost a child, I guess, in their younger years, so they helped out the church and helped out with Angel Tree. Well, my dad ends up becoming friends with them. First night ever meeting them. First night. He leaves me and my brother with them. Nothing strange happened that night. I don't know what happened, but I guess they realized that we were in need, clearly. So they end up like kind of taking over the parenting role. And it felt good at first, to have that to where I'm not doing everything. But also, I wasn't sure, what was going to happen with me and Steven, because they had us laying together in a bed. Things didn't really, like, my dad dropped us off and never came back. Not never, he ended up coming back, but like it was a while. So they had us, like they just had us. We wasn't seeing my mom. I remember they were very religious and very strict. Me and Steven had to be in bed at 7 o'clock. I remember that because it was always daylight when we were laying down, but they would make us start baths at 6 o'clock. And this is where things were weird, is that the man and woman would kind of just be in there with me and my brother and put us both in the bathtub. I don't know if Steven remembers this, but I remember it very vaguely. I mean, very, not vaguely, but very well. Like I can tell you exactly the house and everything. And of course, I didn't realize this was the house on Terry Road because I live near here, near there. But when I drive past it, that's what I remember. I remember them just sitting there watching me and Steven take baths. It was weird. I felt weird then. Of course, prior to any of that, I had sexual abuse done to me by my mom's boyfriend at the time when my mom and dad were separated. My mom had a boyfriend and he had a nephew, and his nephew molested me. I was too young to remember, but it was just what the family said. So I already knew the shame you feel when you're molested. And so I had like an inner creepy in me that I could sense out creepy people, and the grandpa there was just giving me super creep vibes. I don't ever remember him touching me per se in my private areas, but I do remember him watching me take a bath. I do remember him dressing me and just touching me too long, inappropriate in certain places. As in getting me dressed, he would kind of press on my, like hold my butt, or he would sit me on his lap when he had a hard one. Of course, I didn't know at the time that's what it was, but I knew something was weird. And he would like grind me as I sat on his lap, but nothing ever anything else. I don't remember anything happened to my brother. I do remember in the mornings we had to get up at like fucking 5 a.m. I don't know why. I'm guessing so they could get us to school, but I kind of blocked out a lot of it. But I just remember maple brown syrup oatmeal. I just remember that. I remember sitting at the table, and I remember them smacking our hands with rulers if we put our elbows on the table. I remember them really spanking us really bad a lot. My brother, he got it pretty well there too, because my brother had ADHD. He was fucking bad as shit. Like, he was just fucking wild as shit. Not bad. He just was everywhere. He wasn't getting attention, you know? And so they beat us really bad. And I don't remember, but just one day, my dad comes back and gets us. And that was the end of that. And then he ends up taking us to, he gets an apartment. This is me going into 6 or 7 years old at this time. He gets an apartment on in Old Louisville across from DuPont Manual High School. If you know where that's at, it's these apartments that have like a big U. And he gets us into there, gets us settled. When we move into that house, he actually has a whole ass, like a couch, but nothing else. And of course, the same things happen. One day I come home from school with Steven because we got moved at that point to Cochran Elementary. And my brother was in kindergarten at this point, and I was in first grade. And I would get Steven up and get him ready. So, like, everything went back on me again. We would walk to school, which was like 3 blocks over. Wasn't that big of a deal. Alone. My dad would already be gone to work. Then one day we came home and the LG&E was off and my dad was nowhere to be found. Like, I couldn't cook. Our gas was still on, so I was able to use the oven because it was a gas stove. But anything else didn't work, you know? And we had these French fries in the freezer. And I basically was like, this is gonna be our dinner. I remember like portioning out those French fries for a week because it was a huge bag. And by the end of the week, they had been bad probably because they had been sitting out all week, you know? But it was the only food we had. And when we ran out of the ketchup, I just would tell Steven, eat as much as you can at lunch, you know? We'll eat at lunch. Everything will be fine. Dad will be back soon. He'll come back. He ain't gonna leave us. And I remember laying there at night, and the same feeling would come over me that this is not normal. This is not how people should live. This is not what I've seen on TV. Why can't I have whatever my friends have at school? They have a mommy, they have a daddy. They're clean. They smell good. They have nice clothes, you know. Me and Steven at this point were taking the coldest damn baths. It was crazy. It just was a very, very. I don't know how we did it. I look back and I think, oh my God, the strength I had to have that I didn't even realize I need, like, that I had. And we ended up being like, I remember coaching Steven, like, whatever you do, you don't tell anybody, they'll come get us, and then we'll go to some stranger's house again, like we just was at. I remember telling him, you don't tell them mom and dad's not here, you don't say nothing. If they ask where your dad is, you can say he's at work. That's it. I remember coaching him. And we would go to school, we'd eat at school, we'd come home, and we would just be kids at home by ourselves. He did that for a long time. He would come in and come out. He'd get the LG&E turned back on, and then it'd be shut back off. And then that's when he would leave and go to somebody's house and leave us there. This went on for a while, months. Well, at this point, we had not seen mom in like 6 months or so, maybe a year. And I had honestly done forgot about her. Not in a, like, a mean way. I knew it was my mommy, but like, I think I was just in fight or flight, you know? And I just did the everyday grind. It was just what I did. I took care of Steven. In my head, I just thought, if I can just take care of Steven and everything, and he'd be okay, then we'd be all right. It was kind of like I took the mothering role of Steven and just took it over, you know? So I didn't realize that's what I was doing until, you know, I was doing it, of course. But it was a lot. It really was. So one day I come home and dad's not there, which is normal. But Michelle, his sometimes girlfriend, was there. At this point, she's like 6 months pregnant with my dad's kid, okay? So she is living somewhere, I don't know, but I just know my side of the story, and that'll be what I tell. I don't know anybody else's. I don't know why nobody did anything. I don't know why nobody did a goddamn thing, but nobody did. I don't remember nobody being there except for Michelle coming in and out, you know? And I remember her saying, well, your dad, I can't get a hold of your dad. I'll stay the night here one night. I remember her saying that. And she had had me, she said, go take the trash out. I said, okay. So I walked down, and this is old Louisville, you know, and I'm just this 6 or 7 year old little girl walking around like I'm grown. And I remember just going to take the trash and throw it in the dumpster. And I hear out of nowhere this car pull up. And I swear to God, in my head, I thought, I hope somebody kidnaps me. Maybe I'll have a better life if somebody just kidnaps me. I really would lay down at night and pray to be kidnapped. Pray to be chosen. Pray to be seen. I don't know, even know that I was praying. I probably was just talking. There's no telling. Just night times had always been like that for me, where I lay back and I think, this is, something's got to be better than this, you know? Well, as the car pulls up, I hear somebody get out, and this lady approaches me, and I'm looking at her. She looks familiar, and she's emotional. And she hugs me, and I'm just standing there. And she's like, what are you doing? It's your mom. It's me, your mom. I'll never forget it. That's what she said. It's me, your mom. What the fuck are you doing? So I'm taking the trash out. She said, where's your dad? I said, I don't know. I haven't seen him in weeks. He said, well, who's up there with you? I said, well, right now Michelle is, but she just got here. She says she's staying the night. My mom said, who the fuck is Michelle? And I said, it's dad's girlfriend. She said, oh, fucking really? She said, well, I'm out. I served out. I said, okay. I don't know what the hell that means. Of course, being six, I don't know what the fuck that means. And I just remember feeling joy inside, but like, I had felt, even I had conditioned myself so young to not believe anything adults say, that I held it together on the outside. And she said, "I'm coming back for you." And I said, "Okay." She said, "Make sure that you and Steven are ready." I said, "Okay." And at this point, I'm like, she's lying. She ain't coming back. This is too good to be true, you know? Well, I go upstairs. I make the French fries. Me and Steven laid on this egg crate. Michelle had the couch. Me and Steven laid in this empty room on this thin-ass egg crate. It's those little things like a cushioning for the top of your bed. That's what we had. We didn't have no covers. We didn't have no fucking heat. I don't know how the fuck we stayed warm. I don't know how the fuck we did any of this shit. If we did have a blanket, it was probably something very small and thin that I don't even remember. But I will never, ever forget this day and night. And I tell it in a funny way to everybody because it's so fucking crazy that when I tell you my mom is the next level crazy, this is what I mean. I remember laying there, looking up at the ceiling, thinking, I really hope she comes. I was so hungry. Like, I was laying there. I remember being so hungry that night. Like, I just want a hot meal. And all I hear was the loudest boom you could ever hear. And I remember raising up and smiling. I couldn't keep the smile off my face. And I remember hearing Michelle scream, and I knew that was my mom. I knew she was coming. Because that door flew off the fucking hinges. Because where we were laying, when I raised up, I could see the front door. It was kicked off the fucking hinges almost. And Mom smacked the shit out of Michelle for some reason. I don't know what that was for. She didn't probably know she was pregnant, but my mom didn't give a fuck. So, like, she just was one of those people that didn't care. She said, "I'm here to get my kids, bitch. Where the fuck is Steve at?" And Michelle's like, "I don't know. I was here because they were here alone." She said, "Yeah, fucking right. Who's been leaving them alone?" And they get into, like, a little spat. Michelle's threatening to call the police. My mom says, "You call the police, you're going to eat that fucking phone." She goes in, she says, "Steven, get up." She said, "Come on." And she had her best friend Judy with her. And Judy had her two kids with her, which was Amanda and Anthony. We become lifelong friends after, we've been lifelong friends since this, since before this, actually. So my mom's best friend Judy, her daughter Amanda, her son Anthony, they get us. I remember running down the stairs. I remember when we walked outside, the cold air hit my face because my mom was carrying me, and I took a breath in because it felt like I hadn't took a breath in months. I felt like I was being saved. I felt chosen. I felt loved in that moment. I felt like things are going to be okay. They're not going to be as bad as I think. I joke around and tell people my mom's the hood Batman because of the crazy stuff she done, and you will get into and understand and see what I'm talking about. But one thing that I want to say positive about my mom is that even though through all her mess and all her chaos and all her craziness, she's always been there. She's never not been there. Even if she wasn't there, she was there. Does that make sense? Like, at least she was there. Even if she was high her mind, even if she was fucked up, even if, like, she was there. And I know that can't be fathomed to some people. They're like, "What the fuck are you talking about? That's abuse." Like, but she was there. Like, my dad just didn't want to be there. Okay? It's just, it's crazy. And it's life, and it's what we had to deal with. And I remember my dad looking for us for 6 weeks. My mom was bouncing us all over the place, around schools, around everything. And at this time, he's fighting, trying to fight for us. Because, and it was control. He had custody. He wanted it. he eventually catches up with us. And we were living across the street from the Iroquois Projects again in Judy's house. I'll never forget it. I do remember them going, there's not a lot of memory, but it's like spotty. I remember when my mom had us, she had us, but we was mostly playing with Amanda and Anthony. She would feed us. Like, I don't remember, I remember her and Judy going out and getting drunk a lot. I remember them leaving us with a neighbor guy who was like a fucking guy in the neighborhood. I don't know what the fuck that guy was, but he ended up like making us all sit down and watch porn with him. And he didn't touch me, but he did do things in front of me, as in he beat off in front of me, and that was normal to me. It didn't seem weird, because it, now that I think about it, it's disgusting, and I think, what the fuck, you know? But then, also, I look back and I think, why the fuck would she leave me with somebody she didn't even fucking know too, you know? It's crazy. And this is just at six, y'all. This is just at six. Dad finds us eventually. And I remember the cop standing there looking at my mom. And I'm behind my mom. And the cop had his back to my dad. And the guy said, I'm going to ask her where she wants to go. If she says her, there's nothing I can do about it till y'all go to court. So my dad's behind her giving me the scariest look I've ever fucking seen my dad give. So I say I want to go back to my dad's because I don't know, you know? So me and Steven had to go back to my dad's. My dad had us all for a day. And then he dropped us off at my Aunt Karen's. And I'm going to, in the next episode, go over things that some of my family members may not agree with, but it's my truth and it's my story, and I feel like in order to get out and heal the way that I need to, I have to talk about the things that happened to me at Karen's. It was not a good place for me. My sister, well, she's my cousin. It's her mother. But I always call my cousin my sister because she's been around me since I can remember. And she was the light at that house that helped me get through. There was no there was no good day for me there. And I know that people have their own shit going on, and I know that people that have a lot of kids and a lot of stress factors tend to take that out on certain people. I'm not going to justify anything that was done to me anymore. I'm not going to sit back and think, oh, well, I'm going to ignore this abuse and give her a reason on why she did the things she did to me. It is what it is. I don't want to cause any conflict with any of my family members who get upset about me speaking the way that I will speak on the next episode. I won't be disrespectful because I respect my family, but I won't sugarcoat and be fake either. So if it happened and it's factual, it will be said on the next episode, because it's a huge important part of my life that happened in that little dynamic of the reasons why I am the way that I am. And that's the reason to have this podcast. It's not to shed light on me, look at me, I'm fucking need to be seen. This is healing for me. This is healing for people that's been through the same things that I've been through, and they're still okay. You know, I think a lot of people forget that, you know, abuse changes people. Mental, physical, sexual, all those things that happened to me had molded me into who I am today. And a lot of my friends and family don't know why I am the way that I am. A lot of my friends and family don't understand why I think the way that I think, why I overanalyze things, why I handle things different under stress. Being in stress is nothing to me because I'm in stress. I've been in stress my whole life. It's when things are calm that I'm uneasy because I'm so used to chaos, or was at some point in my life, was very used to chaos. I didn't know that being the age I am now, that I would be where I am now. And I'm not even nowhere like great in the aspects of people. Like, I'm not super successful. I'm not this rich person. I didn't come from rags to rich. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just a normal everyday person who has feelings, who has thoughts, who just wanted to fucking make a podcast about it. Because maybe somebody out there can understand the broken child that was inside of me, or that still is. And if I can help them get through anything, that's all I care about. My whole life I've dedicated to helping people and wanting to be seen and wanting to be heard. And not in a way that it's annoying. It's a way that I'm so caring. I have such a big heart. I want to help. And if this in any way can help anybody at all understand a little bit about abuse and or anything, I would love to be that person that helps. That's just who I am. I'll leave this saying that give your kids words of affirmation today. Tell them they're special. Tell them they're beautiful. Tell them they're smart. Tell them that you love certain things about them. Like, you give them a non-physical compliment, as in you love the way that they are helpful to you, that they helped you. Say thank you to your kids, you guys. Say thank you for any task that they do, because without them, your life would be empty. If you're a parent, a mother, single mother, working mother, anything, and then these go out to my stay-at-home moms because I was one for almost 6 years. It can get tedious, the everyday, in and out, all the time, fucking stress, kids with you 24/7. But I'm going to tell you what's more worse than any of that, and that's when they grow up and it's quiet. And it's so quiet that you can hear a pin drop. Or when they go to their other parents' house and you have no plans and you're so used to being a mother, you don't know what to do. Just today, if only for today, put positive things into your kid's head. Be positive. That's all you have to do with children. They remember everything. They remember who's there. Just be there and be emotionally supportive. That's all I want to leave today with. Thank you very much for listening to me. I really appreciate the love and support for everybody, and I'll see you next time.